is what demons are doing to young people through rock music. I have no doubt that some of the things that I share with you, you will find almost unbelievable. Some of you will not understand what is really behind some forms of rock music. Others will not agree with what I share and will hang on to their rock music just as tightly as a small child clings to his security blanket. But there will be some more thoughtful people, I hope both old and young, who will see the dangers I intend to expose and will give up that which ultimately will do them great harm. It should be pointed out that there are various types of rock music. These different types of rock are described by various terms depending on which country you live in and in which part of society you belong. But the more common descriptions are folk rock, country rock, hard rock, common rock, acid rock, punk rock, heavy metal, satanic rock. And of course now within the Christian church there is what is referred to as gospel rock. Now I think most of you would be aware of the fact that some of the terms that I've just used are just different ways of expressing the same thing. I want to show that it is the more way out forms of rock music that are definitely linked with the supernatural world. Now by the way out forms I mean hard rock or acid rock or punk rock or satanic rock or, if you like, heavy metal or whatever term is currently used to describe this particular type of music. The fact that this type of music is used by Satan and his demons is now well beyond dispute. We only need to study the names of the various rock bands and examine their lifestyles and listen to what they themselves are saying, and we wouldn't need any further proof. Regarding the names of some of these rock bands, I've been looking into some of the facts, and I think it may be helpful if I shared some information with you. For instance, when I was in the army in the last World War, the word queen was often used to describe a homosexual. Now, it's interesting to me to notice that all these years later, a particular rock group has called themselves Queen. And it means, as it did in those days of the war, homosexual. There's another group today that is quite common called AC/DC. Now, most of the men who are listening will be aware of the fact that AC means alternating current and DC means direct current. But you will notice that the particular group that I'm referring to is AC/DC, in other words, either or. Now, of course, this conveys to us the meaning bisexual, either or, sex with male or female. Another group that is very common and came to Australia not so long ago is the group called KISS, K-I-S-S. Now that means kids in Satan's service. Another group of grains that is worthy of mention is called Black Sabbath. Now I understand that the lead singer in this particular group, Black Sabbath, sometimes gives the satanic salute in his performances. Now the satanic salute is a closed fist with the little and index fingers raised, making it appear like a head with a pair of horns. Now I only have time to share with you, or just to mention very briefly, some of these things. But if any of you have the time to study the names of the various groups that I haven't mentioned, and there are many of them, it will be clearly seen that the vast majority of them are linked with Satan and the occult in one way or another. Now if you study carefully the record covers, you will find a whole host of occult symbols, some half hidden or even in veiled form. You will also find some Christian symbols there, but these are grossly distorted such as a cross turned upside down and the arms of the cross broken, or a cross with the bottom section twisted around to form a question mark. On close examination, the whole rock music scene glorifies Satan and the occult, and it makes an absolute mockery of Christianity. Now, when we study the lifestyles of the rock performers, we find things that should warn any thoughtful person to have absolutely nothing to do whatsoever with their music. Many of the singers and musicians have openly admitted when interviewed that they are homosexual and are involved in the occult. Many of them use drugs and alcohol pretty well all the time. The lifestyle of many of them, as well as their performances, openly promote violence and rebellion and even Satan worship. These facts are so well documented in highly respected magazines and newspapers around the world that anyone who desires proof can get all the evidence that he needs. Some of the composers in the various groups openly admit that their music is inspired. They receive their inspiration direct from Satan, but their contact with Satan is through the occult, or sometimes through spiritism, or mysticism, or Eastern religion, or satanic worship itself. Now, why do demons use rock music? Well, to answer that question, it is to them a means of communication. They communicate through rock music with people, and through rock music they influence people. And believe you me, it is a very effective medium. It is a well-established fact that music has a direct effect on people. Some forms of music can cause delight. Other types of music can make a person feel very sad. Then again, there's the type of music that brings people into a state of sheer ecstasy. But certain types of rock music can and does create a state of hysteria. It is quite common at some of the rock concerts where the heavy metal or satanic rock is played to see young people begin to undress, or to shoot up with more drugs, or even to swoon because of the hypnotic effect the music is having on them. So demons use rock music as a medium, or as an instrument, in other words, a means of communication with young people, all toward a given goal. Now let me make this point abundantly clear. Demons aren't using rock music for nothing. They have a purpose. They have a definite plan in mind. They have a definite goal in view. And that goal is to gain as much control as possible over the people who are listening. They desire to obtain total control if possible. And actually, sometimes they achieve this. In other words, they actually possess people who constantly listen to hard rock music. It should be recognized that there are various degrees of control. Some young people are only mildly influenced by hard rock music. Some are more strongly influenced, while others become actually addicted to it. They must have it. They must have it often. And they must have it loud as possible. Now, if demons gain some degree of control over people through rock music, or the occult, or any other means, they will then turn them against God, and against the church, and against the Bible, and cause them to become anti-Christian. And of course, in the end, they will take them down to hell. Now, there's one very sinister thing that goes on in the world of rock music that most people know very little about, and it is referred to as backwards masking. Now, I'd just like to repeat that so that you will get hold of this and then listen carefully as I explain it for you. The most sinister thing in the world of rock music is backward masking. Now, backward masking is a method used by some rock groups to convey demonic and occult-related messages to those who listen. The message can often be heard quite clearly when the record is played backwards. Now, young people, of course, aren't going to play their records backwards. But it makes no difference whether they do or whether they don't. They will receive the message anyway. Even if you just listen to your rock record played normally, you will still receive the message. Only you will not know that you are receiving it, because you are not meant to know. Because the satanic message isn't picked up by the conscious mind, but it goes directly into the subconscious, and any psychiatrist can tell you that what is put into the subconscious mind often finds its way up into the conscious mind and then becomes part of the lifestyle of the person. Recently, a few of us decided to do some research on this ourselves. So we borrowed one of Led Zeppelin's records called Stairway to Heaven. Led Zeppelin is a well-known group, and this particular record, Stairway to Heaven, is quite popular. Now, we noticed on the record cover a picture of a little old man holding a lantern. He stands at the top of a stairway. This same little old man appears on the tarot cards, which are used, of course, in the occult world. So what is conveyed on the cover is that rock music is beckoning young people into the occult world to begin to climb the stairway to heaven. Now, the occult stairway is, of course, not a stairway to heaven at all, but it is, in fact, just the opposite. It leads people into error, confusion, drugs, immorality, and finally to hell. Perhaps the high that the rock stars receive whilst they are on drugs is the heaven they are singing about. But this is poles apart from the heaven referred to in the Bible, which is a beautiful place of eternal holiness and happiness, and is reserved only for those who live a holy life on earth. Now, the words of the song Stairway to Heaven, let's have a look at those words for a moment. When we played the record as is normally played, in other words, played it forward, it reads like this. Yes, there are two paths you can go by, but in the long run, there's still time to change the road you're on, and it makes me wonder. When we played the record backwards, there came out the words, there's no escaping it. It's my sweet Satan. Sure enough, there was the satanic message on the back of the record. Led Zeppelin and his fellow musicians are not on any stairway to heaven, but are actually victims of Satan and are being used by Satan to convey satanic messages to young people. Now, whether backmasking may be deliberate or not is a questionable thing. It seems to us that the rock stars are either knowingly or unknowingly channels that Satan is using. They serve the same purpose to Satan as a medium does in Spiritism. Now, what you listen to, young people, will eventually mould your thinking. It will shape your character. It will determine ultimately whether you go to heaven or hell. Now, in exactly the same way as what food we eat determines what type of body we develop, so what we allow into our minds, whether consciously or unconsciously, shapes our character, and it moulds us spiritually. Now, in order to show you what is really going on in the rock world, I would like to go into a little more detail. Some intelligence and other related organisations have a process called electronic hypnosis. Those who are involved in this type of activity have to have a vast amount of information shot into the brain at high speed. The recipient does not know what has been shot into his brain. He can't remember anything. This is done this way purposely, so that if he is captured by enemy agent, he cannot divulge any secret information, even if they torture him. He simply can't remember anything. However, if his mind is triggered by a secret pre-arranged signal, then he remembers instantly. He remembers exactly what was shot into his mind earlier. Now, to put this simply, the man volunteered to be used. He surrendered his mind. He was then programmed to act in a certain way or to do certain things. But he can only remember what to do when he was when his mind was triggered by that signal. Now, this process of electronic hypnosis has been used in Australia and also in the United States, to my knowledge. A Christian man who had been through this process described it in this way. He said he was taken into a room. It was carefully explained to he and the number of others who were going through the process exactly what was going to happen. They were told that they would have zapped into their minds a certain amount of information. Then their ears were taped in the forward position by tapes so that they would not be distracted by outside noises. Then four electrodes were strapped to their heads, two near the temple, and two more electrodes were strapped at the back of the head. These electrodes were then attached by wires to a machine. The men were then instructed to very closely observe a screen that was set up in front of them in the room, and they were to watch a small dot of light that appeared on the scene. Now, they were told not to take their eyes off it, but to carefully watch it all the time. Now, this light went in a zigzag sort of a pattern across the screen, sometimes going up or down. Now, naturally, in a situation like this, the men would not be thinking of their home or their children or sport or anything else. Their mind was totally fixed on that little dot, just wondering whether it was going to disappear off the side of the screen altogether, whether it would go up or down or disappear or explode in a blinding flash of light or whatever. They didn't quite know what to expect, but they did expect something. In other words, their minds were blanked out and open to receive some kind of message. Now, just at this moment, the instructors pressed a button on the machine and zapped into the minds of these men, in a few seconds, a whole bookful of information. Now, of course, the men had no idea what the information was, but the information was there in their minds. Now, what I want to say to you at this point is this. This process is done by man. It has absolutely nothing to do with demons. But what I want to draw to your attention is this. If man is capable of shooting a whole bookful of information into the subconscious mind, how much more can demons do if we play into their hands and leave ourselves open to their influences? Let's remember that demons are evil spirits. They have been around a long time, in fact longer than this world has existed. They have knowledge that is far superior to that of a man, and they of course are far more powerful than man. So I repeat, if man, by the process of electronic hypnosis, is able to zap a man and shoot into his subconscious mind an enormous amount of material in seconds, what can demons do, or what can they put into the mind of people who willingly subject themselves to demonic brainwashing through rock music? Any thoughtful person should surely be able to see that these demons are able to shoot into the minds of people all sorts of thoughts to do with drugs, sex, homosexuality, pornography, immorality, alcoholism, occult practice. Why, there's a whole host of evils that are being promoted by demons and pushed around the world. and rock music is one of the main methods they use. Now, many of the rock musicians are in fact mediums. They have actually given themselves over to Satan. Now, this type of music creates an atmosphere, and all who yield themselves to its influence and open their minds to it become hypnotized to a greater or lesser degree. And whilst in this state, Satan is able to zap into the subconscious mind virtually whatever he likes. Now, in order that more of you will really get hold of what I am saying to you and see the grave danger that you are exposed to by listening to hardcore rock music, let me explain the danger in another way. There is a method of advertising called subliminal communication. Sub meaning below. We all know the word submarine. Sub-zero means below zero weather. Submerged means below the level of water. Subterranean, below the level of the terrain. Now, subliminal means below the level of consciousness. This method of advertising is done by throwing pictures on a screen at the rate of, say, 34 frames per second. Now, of course, it is impossible for the conscious mind to understand the message when it is communicated at high speed like that. But it is interesting, and I might add frightening, to realise that the subconscious mind actually picks it up. And then it decodes the message for the conscious mind. And then it becomes reality in the person's life. Now, I understand that this form of advertising, in other words, subliminal communication, is not legal in Australia. But it has been used overseas to boost the sales of certain products. And it was discovered that these sales, in other words, the sale of these products, jumped remarkably. This is further evidence that man is able to zap into the subconscious mind, both by electronic hypnosis and also by subliminal communication. Now, one thing should be made clear at this point. In these two cases mentioned, in other words, electronic hypnosis and subliminal communication, the subject either willingly submits himself to the process, or he puts himself in a situation where it could happen to him. Now, in either case, he can only have himself to blame for whatever happens to him. In the case of a person constantly listening to rock music with its jungle beat and its ear-splitting sound, he only has himself to blame when Satan shoots into his mind all the evils that accompany this type of music. And of course, what is shot into the subconscious mind will be interpreted eventually by the conscious mind as normal, and in many cases become part of his lifestyle. I don't think anybody knows at this stage just how much rock music contains satanic messages. But there are many Christians that believe up to 80% of it could, and there is now a great deal of evidence to support this view. Now, having said what I have about rock music, and that it is a method of communication used by demons to convey messages to those who listen, the question will be asked, just what effect does it have on those who play it and on those who listen? Firstly, it communicates evil suggestions to the mind. Secondly, it causes them to accept drugs, the occult, violence, crime, immorality, and a whole host of other evils as normal. Thirdly, rock music creates a desire to experiment with the occult. This has been proven many times over. Fourthly, rock music is a world of fantasy. It creates its own atmosphere that brings people into an unrecognisable but very real hypnotic state of mind. It is, in other words, an escape from reality. It is a high that gives them temporary relief from the harsh problems of life. Deprive them of their rock music, and you deprive them of their means of escape from reality. They then often find it very difficult to handle normal relationships with other people. Some become withdrawn when you deprive them of their rock music. You've taken away their security blanket, and now they're in trouble. Now, what effect does rock music have on people? I've already mentioned that it creates its own atmosphere. It also brings people into a certain mood. Now, what I mean by that is this. A girl, for instance, after attending a rock concert, on the way home with her boyfriend, would find it very difficult to say no. The music has already programmed her to say yes. Every year, well over 1 million teenage girls have abortions. Now, there is now much evidence to suggest that rock music paved the way for this massive tragedy. No computer would be capable of revealing the heartache, the sorrow, the suffering, the remorse experienced both by these girls and their families. But what of the rock musicians themselves? What Satan and his demons have done to them is frightening, to say the least. Almost everyone in the Western world has heard of Jimi Hendrix and Sid Vicious and Elvis Presley and Janis Joplin. Did you know that these and a whole lot of others died either through drug overdose or suicide? The number that died in these ways is probably between 20 and 30 at least. Most of them seem to die in their 20s. These rock musicians and singers once walked this earth. They entertained vast crowds. They lived in luxury. Some could have absolutely anything that money could buy. They were the idols of millions of people. But where are they now? The awful truth is that Satan deceived them. He really cheated them. Their lives were short-lived. They soon lost their popularity, their fame, their wealth, their lives, and worst of all, they've lost their souls. But what effect can rock music have on a Christian if that Christian listens to it often? Let me answer that question by telling you of a young man whose name, well, we'll call him Roy. That's not his real name, but we'll call him Roy. Roy worked on a property owned by a friend of mine. He didn't sleep in the house with my friend and his family, but slept in another building nearby. After a while, Roy noticed some strange things happening to him at night. For instance, after he switched off the light, he felt himself being lifted off the bed. Now, he knew that there were no human beings in the room, so he sensed that what was going on was caused by evil spirits or demons. Even when he tried to sleep with the light on, it didn't make any difference. He was still lifted off the bed and held in the air. Now, when he struggled and tried to lock his arms under the bed to hold himself down, he was still wrenched free and lifted by these spirits. And in the morning, he had great welts appear on his legs where he had been grabbed and held by them. Sometimes, while he was held in the air and the light was on, he could actually look down and see the bed below him and the bedclothes hanging limp over his body. When this continued for some time with seemingly no end in sight, Roy became absolutely exhausted through lack of sleep, and also he became very nervy. Finally, he couldn't stand it any longer, and in sheer desperation he told my friend what was happening to him and how he absolutely dreaded going to bed at night. My friend pointed out to Roy that this could not happen to a Christian unless that Christian actually gave ground in some way to Satan. So he and Roy set out to find the link between him and the spirit world. At my friend's suggestion, they had a time of prayer together when both men prayed and earnestly asked the Lord to show them where Roy had gone wrong and in what way he had given ground to Satan. After they had prayed, my friend said to Roy, "Well, did you think of anything while we were praying?" And Roy said, "Well, there's no sin in my life that I'm aware of. The only thing that I could think of is that I'm a fan of," and he mentioned the name of the rock singer. And he said, "As a matter of fact, I have the whole collection of his recordings, and I listen to them all the time." "Well," said my friend, "that's where you've given ground. That's the link between you and the evil spirits." My friend pointed out that it would accomplish absolutely nothing for Roy just to pray and ask forgiveness for what he had done, or even to claim the blood of Christ to protect him. Roy had to go further than that. He had to actually reclaim the ground that he had unknowingly given to Satan. And all these rock records had to go. Now Roy had already reached the stage where he could not face another night of torture of this nature. So he decided that as far as he was concerned, that was the end of rock music. The two men prayed again. And that night when Roy went to bed, he did not know quite what to expect. But he eventually dropped off to sleep, and sure enough he had the best night's sleep he had had for a long time. And what's more, he has had no trouble since. Now let's make one thing clear. Roy was a Christian. He was not demon-possessed. But without realizing what he was doing, he gave ground unknowingly to evil spirits, and they gained some degree of control over him, and because he was a Christian, they vented their fury on him every night, until finally he was to the point of near exhaustion. Now, young people, there is heaps of evidence to show that rock music is satanic. Many of the rock musicians are actually demon-possessed. Others of them are subject to demons. Many of them are mediums. In other words, they are used by Satan, whether consciously or unconsciously, to zap all kinds of stuff into your mind. Young person, if you keep listening to hardcore rock music, you are playing with fire. If you are a Christian, I urge you to get rid of it right out of your home and right out of your life, and listen only to music that glorifies the Lord and not Satan. So what are demons doing to young people through rock music? Well, they are bringing young people under satanic influence. They are indoctrinating them. They are enticing them into drug addiction. They are making many alcoholics out of them. They are programming them in order to lead them into a violent and sinful lifestyle. They are brainwashing them into a so-called alternative lifestyle that could eventually destroy them. They are immunizing them with small doses of religion that makes them immune to the real thing. They are taking them down to hell by the million. Even Christian young people are being spiritually destroyed by this method. Tens of thousands of teenagers spend large amounts of money, what doing? Buying rock records or cassettes. Now in doing this, they are actually financially supporting rock stars and their drug habits. Now what can older people do to save young people from the disastrous effects of rock music? Well, here's a few suggestions for you older people. Firstly, I believe we should pray earnestly for their salvation. Secondly, we can supply them with material to read from our Christian bookshops that will help them. And I believe there are now books available that explain the danger of backward masking. Show them that there is a great variety of Christian music that glorifies the Lord, and it edifies Christians. take the time to show them the addictive nature of hardcore rock music and how it will ultimately destroy them spiritually. If you like, run off extra copies of this tape and lend them around to families who have teenagers in the home. All of us today are walking through what is virtually a spiritual minefield, particularly young people. They need to be warned of the danger. The Christian life these days is not a picnic, it's a war. Satan and his hordes of demons have declared war on the church, and rock music is one of his greatest weapons. So those of us who know the truth and do not share it will surely be called to give account at the judgment seat of Christ. So pastors, Bible class leaders, Sunday school teachers, Christian parents, let us blow the trumpet good and loud. Let us raise the alarm before millions more of our young people are lured down to hell forever.
Tape 28 commences here.
Occult, and what every Christian should know about it. As I move about from church to church, speaking at conventions and crusades, I am becoming increasingly more disturbed at the large number of Christians who are coming into bondage to the various forms of occult practice. Continually, pastors and spiritually minded laymen share with us their concern. My wife and I receive phone calls and letters almost daily from distressed Christians who are wanting answers. It is becoming very evident that there is a strong upsurge of demonic activity and a corresponding spread of various forms of occult practice. We have had reports from Europe, from England, and from USA that occult practice is on the increase, and this is also now evident in Australia. Most discerning Christians are aware that this form of activity has been around for a very long time. But what is disturbing is that it is now spilling over into the church, and thousands of Christians from all denominations all across Australia are now being affected. I am well aware that some naive people will consider me an alarmist, and I will just have to wear that label. But those of us who are working in the field of in-depth counselling and exorcism have far more evidence than we need to convince us that what I am saying is fact and not fiction. We never volunteered to enter this field of labour, namely that of in-depth counselling and exorcism, but have actually been thrust into it by our Lord himself, and that in a most remarkable way. Having been engaged in it now for quite some time, we feel that the Christian church needs to be alerted to what is really going on. Our observations have made us keenly aware of the fact that Satan has organised his forces for an all-out onslaught against the church. This onslaught is worldwide, but varies in form from one country to another. For instance, in communist countries, the attack is in the form of severe persecution. In third world countries, the church is taking a battering because of war and famine and disease and the rapid increase of pagan religions. Throughout the English-speaking world, the attack seems to be more from within, and therefore it is more subtle. We have observed as we have moved around that the attack is on at least three fronts, namely through the tongues movement, through occult practices being introduced into the church, and thirdly, through some sections of the church increasing in their pace in their journey back to Rome. It is interesting to note that the scripture clearly states that all of these things would occur in the lead up to the second coming of our Lord. We have been carefully monitoring this attack upon the church and feel that we should alert both pastors and people of the effects that it is now having. The feedback that we are constantly receiving is that many churches are now completely dead. There does not appear to be any spiritual pulse at all. Many more churches are torn by dissension. The most effective weapon that Satan is using to achieve this end is, without question, modern day tongues. We now have reliable reports from all across Australia that churches are splitting in ever-increasing numbers. Many fine Christians now find themselves in a position where they have no evangelical church within driving distance, and so have to meet in house groups for Bible study, prayer and fellowship. We have also observed that devastating blows are being struck against marriages. In one large high school, for instance, a survey revealed that 60% of the students came from broken homes, and this in turn is causing widespread behavioural problems in the community in general and in this high school in particular. We have noted that many Christian workers are being incapacitated. Now, in addition to all this, we have the ever-increasing number of people who are being afflicted by mental and emotional disturbances. It is also now apparent that our times are marked by increasing numbers of supernatural manifestations. Our efforts in more recent times are first to determine the source of these manifestations, secondly, to discover the effect that this is having on the church in general and individuals in particular, and thirdly, to offer Christians, and especially those in full-time work, a form of corrective. Now, regarding the source of supernatural manifestation in the mid-1980s, we would say without hesitation that most of it is satanic and takes the form of lying wonders. However, there are some things that we have seen that have caused us to withhold our judgment. We would be the last to profess to have that degree of discernment necessary in order to enable us to arrive at definite conclusions in all instances. As to the effect that Satan's onslaught is having on Christians, we feel that it would be wise to share our observations so that people will be alerted as to what is happening, and Christian workers in turn can warn others who are under their care. Some people will no doubt wonder why so many church people and even Christian workers are falling prey to Satan. They are falling prey to his many strategies through some form of occult practice. Now, the Lord answers this query in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. And here the Lord says this: "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Now, note whom the Lord is talking about. He distinctly says, "My people." Not those outside the church, Mr. and Mrs. Average in the community, but the Lord says, "My people." Note what he says is happening about his people. "My people are destroyed." Now, the word destroyed means exactly that. If you look up the word destroy in a good dictionary, you will see that it means to demolish, to make useless or annihilate. This is exactly what we are finding as we move around. Ever-increasing numbers of the Lord's people are literally being destroyed. Not physically, but spiritually. We have met a frightening number of former church officers, evangelists, Bible teachers, and pastors who are now nothing. They do not go to church. They do not read their Bible or pray. They have no interest whatever in spiritual things. Quite a number of the men have run off with other women. Fairly recently, I met up with a former Baptist pastor whom I have known for a very long time. While he was in the ministry, he had pastored several Baptist churches. I took the opportunity to ask him what his position now was. He replied that the word agnostic would probably best sum it up. If this were an isolated case, we could perhaps be excused for passing it off without much further thought. But the hard facts are that we know a great many similar cases. Now, it is not for me to sit in judgment on these former servants of the Lord. But thoughtful Christians continue to ask the question, why? Why is this happening? Why are so many spiritually minded people being destroyed? Why are so many Christians being rendered useless? The Lord, in his wisdom, gives us the answer to that question right in the verse that I have just quoted. My people are destroyed, and here it is, for lack of knowledge. Ah, there's the reason. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Only this morning I heard of two boys that received electric shocks and were badly burnt. One of them burnt seriously. The reason was plain. It was simply lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge of how to drive a car safely, or lack of knowledge of how to swim, or lack of knowledge on many things can cause us injury and even death. But this lack of knowledge in the spiritual realm is especially dangerous. That is why our Lord said, "Beware, lest any man deceive you." And Paul also gave a great many warnings along exactly the same line as this one. For instance, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, Paul says, "Be not ignorant of Satan's devices." Now, this is a very strong warning to all Christians. And I'd like to repeat that. It's a very strong warning to all Christians. What is the warning? Be not ignorant of Satan's devices. Now, why should we not be ignorant? Well, the reason is that if we are ignorant of what he is up to, it will very likely cause our spiritual downfall. Why are so many Christians ignorant? Because they do not take the time to acquaint themselves with a knowledge of what Satan's devices are. To acquire this knowledge, of course, takes time, and it also takes effort in careful study of the scriptures. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, we are clearly warned, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Warnings such as these are all through the Gospels and the Epistles, and my friend, they are not there to fill up space. God doesn't say anything without good reason. These warnings serve to alert the believer that he is in a war, that we have a fierce and relentless foe who is bent on our destruction. Every Christian who does not heed these warnings or does not bother to acquaint himself with the tactics used by Satan will place himself in a position of grave peril. The fact is, every Christian is right in the thick of a fierce battle. Whether he or she knows it or not makes no difference. They're right in the forefront of the battle, and they are going to be shot at by an enemy that has always shown hostility and hatred toward the Lord's people. There is no need for Christians to be beaten and battered in this spiritual warfare in which we are all engaged. We are clearly instructed in Ephesians 6 to put on the whole armour of God. It is no good putting on part of the armour. We are distinctly instructed to put on the whole armour. Then, to make sure that we understand what the armour is, it is carefully itemised for us, piece by piece, in the following verses. Now, in an effort to prevent more people being destroyed through lack of knowledge, it is my purpose at this point in time to share some of the things Satan is using in order to gain a hold on Christians. It will, of course, be understood that I will only have time to deal with some of these things, some that we've come across in our work.
these things I will lump together under the general heading of the occult. Now, I mentioned earlier that occult practices are now becoming widespread and are spilling over into the church. I will be more specific in a moment and list some of these things in the hope that Christians will see the danger of dabbling in them. But first of all, a word of explanation. The word occult comes from the Latin word occultus, and it means hidden, dark, secret, or mysterious. It is often used to describe certain phenomena that cannot be rationally explained or comprehended by our five senses. The occult is definitely Satan's domain, and any Christian who ventures into that domain, either knowingly or unknowingly, will most certainly be affected in one way or another. Let us be careful not to underestimate the power of Satan. There are literally scores of instances in Scripture which show the power he possesses. For instance, in Exodus chapter 7, verses 11 and 12, we are told that Pharaoh's magicians threw their staffs on the ground and they turned into serpents. In the same chapter, Exodus 7, verse 22, after the river Nile was turned into blood, Pharaoh's magicians performed a similar miracle, naturally through satanic power. In chapter 8 of Exodus and the 6th verse, we are told of the plague of frogs. We are told in the next verse that the magicians did the same thing. In the same chapter, verse 18, Pharaoh's magicians tried to bring gnats but failed. Then in verse 19, they said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." Now these and many other passages of Scripture reveal something of just how extensive Satan's power really is. But every Christian should also remember the fact that our God has placed definite limits on his power, and beyond those limits he cannot go. This is seen very clearly in the story of Job. Now, to illustrate what I mean by Satan using his power against Christians, I once read of a man in a foreign country who was an official in his church. This man became ill, but he did not seek medical advice at the time. However, as his condition deteriorated, he finally went to the doctor. As time went on, the man's health deteriorated still further. Then he remembered that in the days before he had become a Christian, he had observed that the local witch doctors seemed to have amazing powers, even to the point of being able to heal people by these mysterious powers that they possessed. Now, instead of calling the church together to make his healing a special matter of prayer, this Christian yielded to the temptation to go and consult a witch doctor. Now, this man knew that God had forbidden Christians to do this, consulting witch doctors. Now, it turned out that the witch doctor's power really worked, and the man's health actually returned to normal. But the end result was that he lost all interest in the local church, he lost all desire to pray, and he lost all desire to read the Word of God. And in the course of time, he returned to heathen practices. Now, in this case, medical science couldn't seem to help, but the occult came up with the answer. But at what a price! It is now becoming increasingly clear that Western society is going exactly the same way as the Roman Empire. But a fact that is even more distressing is that the church appears to have been stripped of its power and, to a great extent, has ceased to be able to cope with Satan's attack. Now let us review some of the occult practices that Satan is using to snare Christians. The first one I'll mention is astrology. Now, astrology is not to be confused with astronomy. Astronomy is a legitimate science. which concerns itself with the study of the stars and the planets, etc. Whereas astrology is an effort to foretell future events by reading the stars. Now, this is strictly forbidden in the Word of God. It can easily be seen how common this practice has become by observing the number of women's magazines and even newspapers that have a regular and even daily horoscope column. Some people read this out of mere curiosity. Others, of course, become involved by the influence of their friends. Others, again, have a fascination with anything mysterious, and Satan finds it very easy to psych them into dabbling, and eventually they find themselves in some kind of bondage to him. Astrology can be traced back long before the birth of our Lord. In fact, it was practiced by the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, the Greeks, and the Romans, and it can be traced right through to our time. To believe that the position of the stars at the moment of our birth actually influences our life in any way is purely and simply pagan superstition. And every sincere Christian who has dabbled in this ought to renounce it at once and ask the Lord to forgive them. Another form of occult practice is the use of good luck charms. Now, whether these take the form of a rabbit's foot or a horseshoe or some piece of jewellery or a shark's tooth on a chain worn around the neck or some other paraphernalia, doesn't matter. A holy God must surely see these superstitious practices and regard them as a contract with the devil. Christian, be warned of the seriousness of what seems on the surface to be a seemingly innocent practice. If you have any lucky charms, I urge you to get rid of them. Another form of occult practice is spiritism. In the Bible, this is called necromancy. It is, in fact, spirit communication. In the book of Acts, we have reference made to two sorcerers or magicians, Elymas and Simon Magus. The context clearly shows that these two men were definitely not believers, but they did possess mystical power because of their link with the spirit world. This fact seems to confuse a very large number of sincere Christians. They seem to be convinced that just because a man possesses the power to bring about a healing of some sort, they conclude that his power must come from God. These well-meaning but deluded Christians are not able to distinguish between the gift of the Spirit and the mediumistic power. A medium, by the way, as the word implies, is a go-between, a middle person who acts as a channel of communication between this world and the spirit world. Now we read in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 that there is only one mediator between God and man, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. For any person to consult a medium, whether it be to obtain knowledge of the future, or for healing, or for any other reason, is to enter right into Satan's domain. And any person so doing will place himself or herself in a position of grave peril. Many Christians realize that some charismatic faith healers are nothing but fakes. But what is often not understood is the fact that some of these healers actually have mediumistic powers. In other words, healings may be real, but the power that performs the healing is satanic. And it should always be remembered that if Satan performs a healing, he is certain to extract a real price. And that price could be the cost of that person's spiritual life. Another form of occult practice is palm reading or fortune telling. Palmistry is the telling of fortunes from the lines in the hand. Now, this practice goes back to the days of the Roman Empire. Reading the palm can be just a fake, or it can be a money-making racket, or it can be actually done by one who has contact with the spirit world. Now, if you have your palm read by some person who has actual contact with the spirit world, the effects on your life can be absolutely disastrous. To illustrate this point, I was once told of a man who had his palm read and he immediately became ill and also began to act strangely. It was only a short while before a doctor had this man admitted to a mental home for treatment. Now, this poor man in his ignorance had been to a fortune teller who was not a fake, but who could, with the aid of demonic powers, tell with some degree of accuracy what may happen to a person. Now, the end result in his case, of course, was devastating. Now, in many of these cases, what is actually happening is that the demons are in reality serving notice of what they themselves plan to do. Now, concerning the man I have just mentioned, any mature Christian with spiritual discernment can see it was not treatment he needed, but deliverance from the bondage into which he had fallen. Now, the next occult practice I will mention is that of seances. A seance is a gathering of people to encourage spiritistic phenomena. In actual fact, it is human beings interacting in some way with demons. Many people, out of sheer curiosity, can't seem to resist the temptation to experiment. Most people would probably be completely ignorant of the fact that God strictly forbids all contact with evil spirits. These instructions can be found in Leviticus chapter 20, verses 6 to 8, also in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 to 13. Now, these commands given in these passages of Scripture can also be found in other places in both the Old and the New Testament, and have been given by a loving God who is concerned about the protection of people. Now, it doesn't matter what form the seance takes, whether it be glass moving or table lifting or any other of the many forms. It is all strictly forbidden by the Lord. And all people, and I underline that, all people who disobey God's instructions will come into some form of satanic bondage, although they will in all probability be totally ignorant of the fact that something has happened to them, or else they will put it down to some other cause. Another tool that Satan is using is horror movies. Now, I have been astonished on some occasions when I have visited Christians in their homes to find that they seem to resent my coming. They regarded my coming as an intrusion into their privacy. They seem to be absolutely glued to their TV set and completely taken up with some horror film, some film in the knock 'em down, drag 'em out series. They had no desire whatever to have any conversation on spiritual things, or read, or pray. All they seemed to want was to sit back and enjoy what Satan had to offer. Years ago, I used to regard all these people as true Christians. After all, they professed to be, and they seemed to be doing the right things. They went to church, they read their Bible, they tithed their money, etc. But in more recent years, as I have made a more careful study of the scriptures, I am convinced that with many of them, there is not sufficient evidence to support their claim to New Testament Christianity. There are literally hundreds of verses all through the New Testament that indicate very clearly that God demands purity of heart and holiness of life for every person who would aspire to enter heaven. And this heart purity and holy living is not to be just in sentiment only, but is is to be an actual way of life. Now, I do not intend to be judgmental here, but I fear that Satan has succeeded in outsmarting large numbers of people who profess to be born of the Spirit of God. God specifically states in Romans 8, verse 14, "They that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now, my friend, the Holy Spirit does not lead people to fill their minds with Satan's poison by continually watching a television set. Also, in Galatians 5, verse 24, Paul specifically states, "They that are Christ's," now listen to it carefully, "they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof." How do we tell whether a person belongs to Christ or whether they don't? Well, that verse tells us in no uncertain language. "They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof." The corollary in these two verses is there for all to see. Namely, all that are not led by the Spirit of God are not the sons of God, and they that have not crucified the flesh do not belong to Christ. The only way to get any other meaning from these verses is to deliberately bend them. No, my friend, if we profess to be among the elect of God, horror movies and blue movies are definitely out. To watch them by the hour is not only a waste of precious time, but it is to subject ourselves to Satan's brainwashing. Yet another tool that Satan uses to enslave people is the use of fetishes. Now, the use of fetishes is, of course, a heathen custom. But thousands of people in Australia, in fact all through the Western world, have adopted it. Now, a fetish can be any object regarded as having magical powers. Some people carry them around for their protection. The worship of relics in the Roman Catholic Church is on the same level as a fetish. Even some objects commonly referred to as artifacts should be included here, especially head masks from Bali, New Guinea, and Indonesia. Even missionaries have been deceived by Satan in this matter. They have brought home from the mission field all kinds of objects that seem innocent enough in themselves, but in reality are a point of contact with evil spirits. The result is that often these missionaries are afflicted with some illness, or their children are affected in some way, especially spiritually. Many Christian parents, it seems, have no idea that what they are doing, or how they are living, or what objects brought back from foreign countries where witchcraft is practiced, is having a devastating effect on their own children. Parents would be well advised to look more closely at their children's problems, because some of these things I've mentioned could easily be the root cause of these very same problems. Now, one very common form of occult practice that is widespread today is the Ouija board. Even some Christians in their ignorance would simply pass this off as harmless fun. But most people engaged in in-depth counselling have traced many people's problems back to the use of this so-called harmless Ouija board. The Ouija board is the trade name for a board used to obtain telepathic messages, or messages from the spirit world. The players receive messages when they move a special device over a printed alphabet. The Ouija board is in fairly common use amongst teenagers, and any person contemplating being a participant in its use should be made aware of the fact that it should be not brushed off as merely superstitious. It can be a means of bringing you into contact with the spirit world. Only the other day I was told by a former captain of a girls' brigade of a little girl who found herself in a room at her primary school where a Ouija board was being used by a young lady. This little girl was frightened, and she thought to herself, "I don't believe in this stuff. I believe in God." And she kept repeating to herself, "God loves me, and I love him." The young lady using the Ouija board kept saying, "There is someone in the room that does not believe. This board will not work unless everyone believes." Finally, the little girl said, "Okay, it's me." And then she got up and walked out. If Ouija boards are operated by someone in touch with the spirit world, they work. There will be a manifestation. Christian, if you don't want your spiritual life ruined, follow the example of this little girl. While considering things Satan can use, Christians would do well to consider hypnosis. The use of hypnosis is not confined to the medical profession, but is now becoming fairly widespread amongst people of doubtful character. The medical profession uses hypnosis for diagnosis and also for therapy. However, I find that there are many Christians who share my belief that it is very probably a dangerous practice. God in his word gives us a great deal of instruction on the mind and its use. Every thoughtful Christian will profit greatly by simply looking up the word mind in any good concordance and noting very carefully what God has to say about it. From the information I have at this point in time, I regard hypnosis as an invasion of the personality. It can only be brought about by a person relinquishing control of the mind and placing that control in the hands of another being. I believe this to be a highly dangerous thing to do, because it is precisely how transference takes place. Dr. Kurt Koch from Germany has studied the occult probably more extensively than any other man alive today, and he has documented cases where people have substituted or submitted to some form of hypnosis, and the result was a complete change in the character of the person. Now, I believe this is why God in his wisdom has instructed us to gird up the loins of your mind, which means to keep strict control over them. We are also taught to bring every thought into captivity. Now, I could quote a large number of verses that show that we are to always retain the use of our faculties and never to relinquish control of them. I have actually witnessed people being hypnotized and making absolute fools of themselves. The next practice that I will mention is that of yoga. Yoga seems to teach that the spiritual part of man can by a mystical union blend into the universe. Now, it does not take God into account at all, and therefore must be regarded as atheistic. I personally regard the practice of yoga as another one of Satan's methods of injecting into Christianity yet another pagan practice, and it is a further attempt to weaken the effectiveness of Christianity. Yoga seems to have its roots in Tibet and in India, and is actually part of Buddhist philosophy. To practice yoga is to engage in a practice that is totally opposed to the Bible. Yoga, from what we have been able to gather, is set out in several stages. The first stage may appear to be innocent in itself and simply consist in a person engaging in exercises designed to relax both mind and body. These exercises may include breathing exercises or physical movement designed to relax the body. They also include exercises in concentration. Other stages of yoga involve control of the subconscious and the forces of nature. Now, any person who proceeds with these practices from one stage to another will inevitably, eventually, come in contact with demonic forces. The very fact that it is part of Eastern mysticism and Buddhist philosophy should be sufficient to show that it cannot be reconciled to Christianity, and it must therefore be regarded as a dangerous practice. Surely there are many forms of healthy exercise that Christians can engage in without subjecting themselves to something that has its roots deep in paganism. Any Christian who ventures down that road will very likely suffer serious injury to his or her spiritual life. Now let us consider another tool that devil is using to bring Christians into a state of utter spiritual ruin, and that is pornography. It seems incredible that Satan could actually lure Christians into this trap of pornography. And yet in our counselling, we have discovered that it is more widespread than most people would suppose. Undoubtedly, television and magazines have gradually paved the way for the acceptance of the more hardcore forms of pornography. We have met people who have been just as strongly addicted to hardcore porn as seasoned addicts are addicted to heroin. And we have observed that nothing but the power of Christ can deliver such people from this form of bondage. Christian, let me urge you to be selective and carefully censor what you allow to go into your mind via the eye gate. I would also urge you, if you possess anything even mildly pornographic, burn it and ask the Lord to give you complete victory over it. I did have in mind here at this stage including rock music in the list because of the horrendous effects it is having on young people. But seeing this is such a common weapon used by Satan, I felt that it warranted a whole message devoted to that one subject. For those of you who would like a copy of this message, it is contained on tape number 4. Another area where Satan has made great inroads into the Christian church is through modern day speaking in tongues. Now I know many will raise their eyebrows at such a statement and say, surely you are not going to link today's speaking in tongues with the occult. My friend, that is exactly what I am doing. The real spiritual gift of tongues was only a temporary gift. It was a sign to Israel. This special gift was withdrawn by the Holy Spirit when the canon of the New Testament was completed. What we have today is an extremely clever counterfeit. But I do not intend to go into detail here because this subject of today's tongues is dealt with fully in tapes number 1, 2, 3 and also tape number 22. Now I'd like to talk to the young people at this stage about a new game that has come onto the market. Many of you will have seen advertised a game for young people. It costs about $30 and is often played at schools in the lunch break. It is called Dungeons and Dragons. To say that the pictures of the various characters are grotesque is most certainly an understatement. Some of the characters used in this play are named after various kinds of demons. As you get further into the game, the participants assume the character of the being that they are acting out. In America, it has now been well documented that some young people have actually committed suicide because of this game. They had been acting the part of someone that took their own life. So these young people actually carried it over into real life and committed suicide. Now this game, when closely analysed, is another form of satanic brainwashing. It programs young people. and it prepares them for occult practices on a deeper level later on in life. We strongly urge all young people not to participate in this game. If you have already purchased it, we urge both parents and young people to destroy it and have nothing more to do with it. To persist in playing it will most certainly have a detrimental effect on the mind. It will bring the players into bondage to Satan and in time will lead to serious problems. Now, some Christians may ask why I consider it necessary to give a whole message devoted to present-day occult practices. Well, let me answer that question by saying that as a servant of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is clearly my duty to instruct those who make up the body of Christ. And it is also the duty of every true shepherd of the flock to warn the sheep of impending danger. I have been preaching the gospel now for some 40 years, and along with preaching have also been heavily involved in counselling. These activities have made me painfully aware of the fact that we are engaged in a spiritual warfare of great intensity. Satan goes around as a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour. It is my deep conviction that the Christian church has grossly underestimated his power. He is without doubt a master strategist. Proof of this is seen in the fact that he has succeeded in infiltrating the church on every level. He has caused widespread apostasy from the true faith. He has brought about the downfall of many spiritual giants and continues to do so. He has succeeded in deceiving multitudes of people by counterfeiting the spiritual gifts. And in more recent times, incredible as this may seem, he has actually introduced occult practices into evangelical Christianity. This is now being reported to us by discerning pastors and other spiritually minded people. With all the multiplicity of splits, divisions, confusion, and apostasy that we now witness on every hand, many people are asking us, who is sufficient for these things? Who will stand against such a foe? I answer, only those who have surrendered to the Lordship of Christ. Only those who maintain a close, daily walk with the Lord. Only those who walk through this world as one would walk through a minefield. Does not Paul admonish us to walk circumspectly, meaning to walk carefully? It is of the utmost importance that we heed such advice. It is nothing but sheer folly to disregard such a warning. I have referred to the Christian life as a war. This analogy is, of course, taken from the New Testament. Paul refers to the Christian's warfare on numerous occasions. In war, men are killed, others are wounded, but some emerge as the victors. It is because of my desire to help more and more people become victorious over Satan that I have listed some of his tactics in this message. It is my sincere desire to alert my fellow soldiers in this spiritual warfare of the subtlety of some of the dangers that exist. So, my friend, if you have already fallen foul of some of Satan's tactics mentioned in this message, it is imperative that you do three things. Firstly, confess it to the Lord and ask his forgiveness. Secondly, if you have been involved in some form of occult practice, you will need to renounce it altogether. Pray a definite prayer of renunciation, telling the Lord that you want nothing more to do with that particular thing, whatever it may be. Thirdly, If you have rock records or cassettes or pornographic literature or tarot cards or lucky charms or fetishes or anything whatever that is a link between you and the spirit world, burn it. Yes, burn them. It is of no use at all to confess these things or even to plead the covering of the blood of Christ and at the same time retain them. The link between yourself and the spirit world must actually be destroyed. This is the only way, and I might add the biblical way, to be freed from any form of satanic bondage. For an example of this, I would refer you to Acts chapter 19, verses 13 to 20, but note particularly verse 19. The people referred to in this passage brought their books and burnt them, and they did so at great personal cost. You will notice this in the context. If we wish to be accepted by a God of infinite holiness, we must actually destroy everything that gives us a contact with the spirit world. In closing, I feel I could give you no better advice than Paul gave to the Christians at Ephesus. In chapter 5, verse 11, Paul says this: "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." The things I have shared with you in this message are surely unfruitful works of darkness. Let us all do as we are told and have no fellowship with them. If we fail to heed this command, we will surely come under some form of satanic bondage.